Good evening. The show begins tonight in conversation with Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution, measuring the cultural chaos caused by these last years of recovery from the pandemic and something called DEI, progressivism's DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Very difficult words to interpret. So I turn to Victor, who says that the chaos is a product of DEI in the economy, in military, in law enforcement, in education, especially in the borders. And he has recommendations. First, you need to recognize the problem. For example, in education, the recent controversy over the surprisingly insincere and unconvincing remarks by three college presidents about anti-Semitism on campus led to what looks to be an analysis of what's going on for these last years. Somehow the American campus, especially the elite campus, has drifted away from what is regarded as common sense about hatred and vile language and anti-Semitism. And then there's the question of what is to be done. Victor Davis Hanson to begin the show tonight. In a conversation with Moscow, Ekaterina Zolotova. The Kremlin has a plan, which is to encourage more births in families and then to offer land, free land, and subsidies to move away from Eastern Europe, from Western Russia, along the border with Poland and the Baltic states, the big cities, to move to Siberia and to the east, to the vast, unconquered, unsettled east, encouraging families to go with subsidies. Here's the puzzle. The war economy now underway demands lots of labor, lots of good-paying jobs. So the people who are living in Siberia now, the young men, the young women, are migrating to European Russia. Therein lies a controversy. Should they be sent back? We need all the workers we can find. Henry Miller is here to talk about the COVID-19 outbreak. Omicron JN1 is the variant. It has symptoms similar to RSV and to influenza. Routinely you hear anecdotes about people coming down with COVID again. Well, that's what this is. 2 million per day, Henry tells me, being diagnosed with Omicron JN1. This will not be the last of variants of the COVID-19. Probably for the rest of the century. It'll join others like the Hong Kong flu of many decades ago in my childhood. Conversation about China, about Taiwan, the big vote this Saturday. Conversation with Gordon Chang and our colleagues Charles Burton, Jonathan Ward. What to make of the vote in Taiwan. Charles Burton is there and reports on a weariness and a cynicism settling on the voters on all sides. Constant threats over the course of their lifetime by the mainland. Constant existential voting. We must vote or. They're tired. They're worn down by it. But the contest, the staring contest with the mainland continues. Cleo Pascal joins from Seoul, reporting on Oceania. Marshall Islands, Micronesia, and Palau are waiting for Congress to move in the supplemental that's now stalled with the negotiation over other matters. They need the money. They need the support from the U.S., Compact of Free States in the Pacific. This has to do with a contest with China. It is a straightforward march from Hawaii to the Philippines on to Japan and Taiwan. And in the event of conflict, those three sovereign states, showing that they want to remain loyal to the U.S., must be kept secure. If China were to interrupt one of them, the supply line would not be secure. And then a conversation about Latin America, the Americas, but it sparks the conversation with Professor Avanelis about Ecuador, a crisis on live TV. Drug gang took over a local TV station broadcasting the news, made the personnel lie on the floor with their hands behind their backs, necks, waved guns, gunshots were reported There was injury, one broken leg reported. All this is fog of war on live television with all of the country watching. As my informant Evan Ellis says, drug lords usually like to keep a low profile. In this instance, it was purposeful to intimidate. Well, at work, people are fleeing keto. People are staying home. There's a paralysis in the nation. There's a crisis atmosphere in Ecuador. Lula in Brasilia celebrated January 8th, the moment when there was a crowd that gathered around the empty Brasilia Congress building complaining about the Bolsonaro election. Well, a year later, Lula sees this as a rallying cry. Of course, he keeps Bolsonaro in the news, so it's a two-sided story. He's declaimed, and at the same time, he's celebrated. The people who voted for him haven't changed their minds in a year, it appears. More on the Americas. The World Bank has issued prospects for the next year, and the growth is nominal, negligible. Some states do better than others. The Caribbean is going to do very well, but not Chile. A subpar year ahead for Chile. And the World Bank is estimating for Argentina that the inflation trouble will not be easy to solve. Argentina's in conversation with the World Bank, but that's the beginning of the story. Milei must deal with the unions, the Peronista unions. Finally, 25 years of the Eurozone, Simon Constable reports for the Wall Street Journal, a success of a currency. It's 109, I believe, today. It was 110 yesterday. It's not parity. It's a little better than the dollar. But it is the world's most popular currency after the dollar. And that's 25 years of success. Then a conversation with Michael Bernstam about the Russian economy. It's a war economy. It had a very good year in 23, 2.6, I believe, is the GDP. It will fall off sharply in 24 and 25, says the World Bank, as the war economy is not able to adjust to other needs in the country. Russia is not in healthy shape for its economy, and the road ahead is unclear. Bob Zimmerman joins to talk about SpaceX being sued by the National Labor Relations Board for an incident to do with employees. The SpaceX attorneys are suing the NLRB back, saying you're interfering and you're not giving us due process in court. That's a complaint against the administrative state in general. In any event, SpaceX is making news by pushing back against the NLRB. And finally, the JPL, the Jet Propulsion Lab, where all of the robot probes of the solar system originate, is now laying off 100 engineers. Why? Some of the programs have been cut back to pay for other programs. One noticeable cutback is the Mars sample return mission, which is said to be expensive. And so all of those samples that Perseverance has so carefully collected and left for the pickup will wait for a few more years until SpaceX's Starship is permitted to test and succeed and off to Mars to recover Mars sample return. There's more to the show. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you for listening.